So, where's your friend?
Well, the airport, Shinira came.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I should wait? Okay, wait, wait, don't talk.
I'm not
talking already. Okay, it's all already. Okay. The Chabot. With your permission, Shevet Sefer Yehoshua, chapter 22. And this is after Yehoshua captured the whole state of Eretz Israel. As we cry Yehoshua la Ruveni velagadi, then it's chapter 22. We skip because it's a lot of names and just information. So we're skipping just to the subject in order to finish Sefer Yehoshua. פרק חב פסוק א', ישוע קולד אפ לטרייב פרובן וגד חצי שבט מנשה. Those are the tribes that got the property behind the Jordan River, on the east side of the Jordan River. They did not pass together with Am Yisrael, the only pass in order to fight with them. About 40,000 soldiers from those three tribes passed to help Am Yisrael. Then, now, as at that time that the war was finished, not only the war was finished, Yeshua divided most of Eretz Yisrael already to the tribes. Then he called those three tribes, the soldiers from Reuven and Gad and Chatshevet Menashe, and then they stood with the permission, ואומר עליהם, אתם שמעתם את כל אשר ציווה אתכם משה ואת השם. You kept whatever you, Moshe Rabbeinu commanded you. It means you passed the Jordan River with your brothers to help them fight. ותשמעו בקולי לכל אשר ציוויתי אתכם, you also listen to me as well. Whatever I commanded, לא עזבתם את אחיכם, זה ימים רבים עד היום הזה, you didn't leave your brothers for a long time until today. It means 14 years they left the family. Not only they left the family, the Midrash says that when they left the family, they said goodbye and they made a neder that they're not going to take haircut till they come back. They just let the hair grow. And their children also made the same neder. They're not going to take a haircut, they're not going to shave, not going to trim beard until they come back. The Midrash says when they came back, their children did not recognize the parent, the father did not recognize the children. Because 14 years they were away, but not only the 14 years they were away, they didn't take care of themselves. They grew beards and big hair, long hair, they looked very wild. And actually when they met each other, they didn't know if they are the children, and the children did not know if they are the parents.
For 14 years.
It's not such a big thing, but that's the Midrash says. They didn't recognize. Maybe those days the hair grew faster, I don't know. That's the Midrash says. They didn't recognize. But still, you don't recognize your father. If you don't see your father for 14 years, you don't recognize your father. The Midrash didn't recognize. They said the father also did not recognize the children. The Midrash says it was a war. When they came back to their property, to the other side of the Jordan River, they found that the Arabs attacking their wives and the children. It's not because Zionism, it's the opposite also. The Arabs attacking the Jews that did not come to Israel. Because they found out, the Arabs, they found out that the strong men, went to fight in Eretz Israel. So they took the opportunity, they knew there are no soldiers, there's no army on the other side of the Jordan River, and they went to her to kill the wife and the children. Happened to be that at that time they came back from Eretz Israel, and they found them attacking the children. So the Midrash, while they're taking the children, they looked alike. And their fathers did not know who are the children. They don't recognize the children, so they didn't know who to fight with. They saw a big fight going on, they didn't know who is fighting who. So the Midrash, the father started to scream, Anenu Elokei Avraham, Anenu Pachad Yitzchak, and that's what we say in Slichot. help us, God of Abraham, help us, God of Yitzchak, help us, God of Yaakov, and then the children start to scream, Anenu. And this is our custom, that we scream, Anenu, we do it in the Tfilah, and Tfilot is from that time. This is where the whole thing was invented. Now you know, in 2 months is Tfilot, you have to hurry up with the sins. There's no more time to do sins, you know, Tfilot in 2 months. You don't, two months is nothing. You need at least 6 months. Yeah, Nate, 2 months is not time to make sins. Very quick. He says, this is our custom in Slichot. We say, Anenu, Elokei Abraham, Anenu, God of Abraham, help us, answer us. That statement was said by the tribes of Reuben and Gad and Menashe when they came back to their old cities on the other side of the Jordan River. And they found the Arabs are fighting, trying to kill the children. They did not know who are the children, who are the Arabs. They saw people fighting next to the door. They didn't know who is the enemy, who is the right guy. So when they screamed, Elokei Abraham Anenu, the God of Abraham helped us, then the children answered, and then they knew who are the children, who are the Arabs. And then they said, because the Arabs, there's three families. Mishma. I don't remember the two families. Send this to you with your permission, and Yeshua tells him, they didn't leave you, your brothers, for a long time, until today, since 14 years. You kept what you promised HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stay until at least we captured Israel, but you voluntarily said that you're going to stay till everybody will have his own property. And you waited 14 years. But now, in Yah Hashem and Kashan Lachem Kashi Divalaim, Baruch Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped your brothers. But now, you can go back to your own territory, to your own cities. El Eretz Achuzatchem, to the place that you inherited, that you got it, Hashem Natan Lachem Moshe Emet Hashem, Bever Yadet. Moshe gave you the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the other side of the river. Meaning you being released from the army, you can go back to your country. Rak, but please, shimru meod laaseh et ha-mitzvah v'et ha-torah she-tzivah etchem. Please, just keep the Torah. I mean, it's a very nice statement. Why not? I mean, you say goodbye to the king of Israel, Yoshua, he gives you some instructions. He says, they're very good, you have very good, and you're very nice children, you're very nice boys, and you're nice people. Now you go back, please, only shimru meod laaseh. Only keep very well to do et ha-mitzvah, the mitzvot, et ha-torah, the Torah, she tzivah etchem, Moshe et Hashem. What is this, l'ahava et Hashem elok Hashem, to love God, the Rebbe Cholzachav, to go on the path of the ways, of the behaviors, of the behavior of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lishmo mitzvotav, tekim et mitzvot, et dovkabo, bigluto HaKadosh Baruch Hu, ul'ovdo b'chol evchem v'chol namshechem. You should worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all your heart, with all your soul. Again, it's a very nice thing to say. I mean, Yeshua is the head of Am Yisrael, but what is it necessary to say that? And why did he have to say that? Rak means only. Since you're being released, please, only, keep the Torah and the Mitzvot. Of course, the simple explanation is because they live in the opposite of the Jordan River, and the Jordan River is like a separation between them and Am Yisrael, and still there are 2.5 Shevatim, 2.5 tribes, that Yeshua is worried about them. But it's really, I don't know, if that's really the reason why he's warning them. We'll get later to see what's really behind it. But the explanation, maybe that's what it means, it means you cross the Jordan River, Hashem is going to help you to rebuild your places and still, but I want you to keep the Torah. Yeshua blessed them and sent them away, and they're going back to the tent. ועל חצי שאתה מנשה אתה מנשה בבשם. So now, even though that Yeshua said it before, now Yeshua writes in his book like this: half of the tribe of Menashe, Moshe Rabbeinu got on the other side of the Jordan River. Those are the people that are going back to their territory. ולחציו, the other half of Shev Menashe, נתן יהושע, יהושע גב ממחיהם בעבר הירדן ימה, on the west side of the Jordan, וגם כי שלחם יהושע להם מברכם. Also, יהושע again send them away and bless them. He blessed them before, 7 and 6 he blessed them. Now again he blessed them. This, listen to the blessing. ויאמר עליהם ישוע גן המבלסים, ויאמר מתחסים רבים שובו אלינו לכם. You go back with a lot of things that you got over here. Back to your tents. במקנה רב מאוד. With a lot of cattle, בחסר, וזהב, וסילבר, גולד, נחושת, קפר, בזל, איירון, סלמות הרבה מאוד, with a lot of garments. חילקו שלל לביכם, go and divide whatever you looted from your enemies. עם אחריכם. So even though that he gave them one ברכה, the Midrash says that now they got another ברכה because they did not leave right away. And Yeshua was very proud of them. The Gemara says when you go say goodbye to someone and somebody that you just feel that you have to say goodbye to your parents or your Rebbe or somebody important and you don't leave right away. Let's say you change your plan and you stayed a little bit longer, you should go back and say goodbye again. The Shevet Menashe, says the Midrash, said goodbye once, but in the meantime, they did not leave right away. They stayed a little bit longer. The packing and also other things that they didn't want to leave right away. Finally, when they left, they went back to Yeshua and told goodbye to Yeshua. Says the Midrash, Yeshua was so high and loved it so much that he gave them a special bracha, and that bracha really helped them a lot that they came back very rich and they lived for a long time because of the second bracha that Yeshua gave them. The Metro says that's why Yeshua is giving them the special bracha. We'll get later to what the Ari says, but this is the same explanation. The Metro says that Yeshua is giving a second bracha. Even though he gave one bracha, this is because they did not leave right away. And even though they already said goodbye to Yeshua, they came back to Yeshua and said goodbye again. And this shows the respect to Yeshua, and Yeshua admired them for them and gave them a special bracha. The second bracha really was very strong bracha, and they used the bracha, whatever Yeshua gave. וישובו וילכו בני ובני בני לא חושבים לנשם בני ישראל משילו השם אצנן. They left the place שילו. שילו was the place that was in Yosef's territory. And this is where Yeshua was staying. Already they built the Mishkan over there at שילו. And the Navi tells us that those 40,000 soldiers that went to say goodbye to Yeshua at Shilo, and they're leaving from Shilo. They go back all the way up north to the place that they got from Moshe Rabbeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that he is allowed to give them this territory. They came all the way to the other side of the Jordan River. ויבנו בני ראובן ובני גד וחצי שבט מנשה שם מזבח על ידני מזבח גדול למראה. When they got there, it doesn't say when, but one day all of a sudden they came and they decided they're going to build a big altar next to the Jordan, very big altar. Again, there's no information in the Farshim how big it was, maybe it is, but I could not find what was the size of this altar, but the Navi said it's a very big altar. וישמעו בני ישראל לאמור, and some people came back to עם ישראל, in ארץ ישראל, on the east side of the Jordan River, and they told עם ישראל, הנה בנו בני ראובן ובני גד וחצי שבט מנשה את המזבח. Those 2.5 tribes built an altar. אל מול ארץ כנען, towards, across from ארץ ישראל, אל בלילות הירדן, next to the Jordan River, אל עבר בני ישראל, another side. And this is really something that's forbidden to do since the Mishkan was built in Shilo, in that territory of Shilo, you're not allowed to build any more altars. Until the Mishkan was in Shilo, everybody was allowed to build his own altar in his backyard and sacrifice. Says the Gemara, let's just based on the Pasuk in the Torah, after Yeshua put the Mishkan in Shilo, כי לא בתם הדת אל המנוחה ואל המחלה, says the Gemara, and the minute that you can arrive to Shilo, you may not do any more altars, you cannot sacrifice in your backyard or any other place. And here, the tribes of Reuben and Gad and Chashiv Menashe, they decided to build an altar. And some people came to Am Yisrael and said, they build an altar. What does it mean? It means you're going to sacrifice outside of the Mishkan, outside of the Mikdash. It's a very big sin. Vayishmuvne Israel sent a servant with due permission. Am Israel heard what those spies or whatever those people sent. Vayikalu kol adat Israel shilo lotan lematzavah. They decided they're going to attack the twin half tribes. The first war between the tribes is going to take place because the two and a half tribes decided to build an altar. And this is against the law. And because it's against the law, they're going to kill them. For this you don't go to kill. I mean, for this you don't go to kill. It's one of the Torah. But this is nothing that you go on the fight for this. This is not a karet. This is not a soul karet. Maybe a little bit, some Chachamim say, this is so correct, it means it's a very big sin if you're going to sacrifice over there, but some Chachamim disagree with it. But you don't go and you draft the army of Eretz Israel, you say, go, now we go to fight the two and a half tribes because they built an altar. That's such a major sin. Since they built an altar, so it's not in Arata to build an altar. So you go, you convince them, but you don't draft the people. You don't draft people to go and destroy two and a half tribes. Because they built an altar. When they kill somebody, or later we're going to see something else happen, important thing, then I understand that you go, you make a war against that tribe. But just to build an altar needs to be explained why I'm Israeli so upset. Again, this is one of the mitzvot of the Torah, that you may not build an altar after the altar was built in the Shiloh, the Mishkan was in Shiloh. Still, to make a war, for this, you don't make a war. You send a messenger, you ask what's going on, but you don't just draft the army and go on top of them. And also send Pinchas along. Yeah.
When the split of the Malchut of Israel and Judah happened,
later.
Much later, yeah. The tools that was used
right.
Was the construction of two centers for worship.
With Rahim
and the
Agalim. No. It was before. Later it was.
That happened later.
No, the Mizbech, the Agalim was later.
Right.
But the split was before, right?
But it was the tool that he used. That was one of the tools he used. Who used?
No, he got upset. He came to Beit HaMikdash, told him, you may not sit down over here. So he got upset. He said, if I cannot sit down over here, and Rehoboam is sitting down, he is the president, he is the king of two tribes. And I'm the king of 10 tribes, how come he's sitting down and not sitting down? And he said, if that's the law, that he making the law, then he lost his temper. I said, I'm going to make those agalim, those golden calves, in order for no one to come to Beit HaMikdash, that I'll be able to sit whenever I want.
Okay.
Sentence 14. With your permission, Vasara Nesim Imo, they send along 10 presidents of the tribe, Nasi Echad Levet, Abraham, Matin Israel, per tribe they sent a president. Ve'ish Rosh Metavotam Imam Lati Israel, those are the people that are the head of the families. Ve'yavo Evnei Reuven, they went over there to the north side of Eretz Israel, they passed the Jordan River to go on the east side of the Jordan River. Ve'bnei Gad Rachishiv Nashay, Lazagnav, Ve'dabu Itam Lemot, they went over there and they spoke to them. It says, Ko Amru, this is the language, this is the statement, Kol Adat Hashem. We're here to tell you a statement from Am Israel, they're ready to attack you. Ma Lazer Hashem Atem Elokei Israel, what is this thing that you, the disrespect, or the disbelief that you have in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Hashem Ayom Achrei Hashem, it says, you don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you go away from Hashem, Vivnotechem, Lachem Mizbeach, you built yourself an altar, Lemordechem Ayom Bashem. Lemordechem Ayom Bashem. You're going to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, this is because it's halakha, that you may not build an altar besides the altar in Shiloh. And here we are to tell you that you rebelled. You don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you built the altar. As I said, besides that we have another message to tell you, that thing is what you're doing is very wrong, because, sentence 17, you see, isn't it enough for us to sin in Peor? Sin in Peor, this is a story in Parashat Balak, that Am Israel went after the Avodah Zarah of Peor, they did some sins, the Jewish man got married to the Goyot, the Moariot, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was upset. So the Navi, they say, Ame'at lam, isn't it small for us, isn't it enough for us, it's avon peor, that's sin. Asher lo itahanu in Adam Azeh, until today, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still upset at us. Ve'i ha'negev v'adat Hashem, was a pandemic in the congregation among Am Yisrael, isn't enough that sin, and now you are doing another sin, building an altar. Says, what's the relationship between that sin and that sin? He says, it is enough. What are you trying to say? This is something that happened a year ago, 2 years ago. No, this is 15 years ago already. 15 years ago, 16 years ago. Happened this story with Peor. So it's about Shad Balak. Am Israel did some sins. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was a magifan. The Pinchas ben Elazar ben Aron HaKohen came. And he said he got his medal for that. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not angry at us anymore. He said, isn't it enough that you just made that scene in Peor, that now you're being an altar? He says, what's the relationship? Who is talking about the Peor? What are you trying to say? Why don't you say Egel? Say Egel also. What's Peor? Peor was 16 years ago, 17 years ago. I don't remember how many years before we passed the Jordan River. Now we are 14 years after we passed the Jordan River. And this was before we passed the Jordan River. He says, why are you doing now another sin? It's another sin. Besides, that sin is not us, it's not Reuven, it's not God, it's all of Israel were involved. Maybe many Shevet Shimon were involved, but it's nothing to do with that sin. But this sin that you're talking about, this is the sin of building an altar. He says, that's not enough. The other sin that you did 16, 17 years ago, on the other side of the Jordan River, the Peor, Moab, you're going back from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, today you're going to rebel, and tomorrow then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be upset at all of them. So the simple explanation means that we all one unit. If part of us does something wrong, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu is upset at all of us. If you feel that your land is not pure enough, this is why you need to have an altar. So why don't you pass, go cross the Jordan River, come back to us. So we let you stay and dwell with us. If you do feel that you may not participate in Eretz Israel, you want to have your own altar, if you feel that you separate from us, so come back to us. V'Hashem al timrodu, don't rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'otanu al timrodu. Please do not make us like we rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'vinotechem lachem mizbeach. You're going to build yourself an altar, v'aladeh mizbeach Hashem lekinu. Besides the altar that is in Shiloh right now, that's called the altar of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hello, Achan ben Zerach. This is another thing. He says, if you think that you're going to get punished and we're not going to get punished, it's not true. We're going to get punished as well. So how do you know? This is something that we are responsible for each other. Hello, we're going to prove it to you. Achan ben Zerach, this is Achan ben Karmi. This is the one that took from the looting from Yericho. Maal b'cherem, he took from the looting after Yeshua made this kind of a swear that somebody should take from the looting. Now, kol adat Israel haya ketev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to set all of us. That's what we lost the war against the eye. And Yeshua had to cry and tear his clothing. He is the one guy. He did that kind of a sin. He was not dead because of a sin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to set all of us. Therefore, we're here to tell you not to do what you did and to destroy the altar. You should not have an altar because it's not only against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What it means is that we are going to be punished because you built an altar. So they answer them, the children of Reuven and God and half of Hashem and Hashem, they say, we have an answer here. Kel Elokim Hashem, Kel Elokim Hashem. Says they called HaKadosh, they swore in Hashem's name three names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem who Yodea, God knows. The Israel who Yeda, and Am Israel is going to know. Im Bemered, because of we rebelled. Im Bemal Bashem, or because we did not obey HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. Al Toshieno Yom Hazeh, God should never help us. If not Lanu Mizbeach, if we had in mind to build ourselves an altar, Lashuv Me'achorei Hashem, in order to get away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or if we had in mind, V'im La'alot Alav Olah U'Mincha, if we had in mind to sacrifice any sacrifices, Nasa La'zifre Shlamim, Hashem U'Yivakesh, God will seek, and God will demand His embarrassment from us if we try to build an altar to stay away from God or to sacrifice on that altar. Why did we build the altar? Im lo midaga, midavar asinu zot lemo. He says we were worried about something and therefore we decided to build the altar. But the altar is not for purpose of sacrificing. That's another reason. It says macha. It says one day. Right. He's going to say why. Macha yemuv nechev levaninu, tomorrow. Doesn't mean tomorrow, but it means one day. Your children are going to tell our children, L'mor malachim el-Hashem Elokei Yisrael, what do you have with God? I mean, you're not a Jew. We are Jewish, you're not a Jew. And he says, why you're not a Jew? U'gvul natan Hashem b'neinu v'nechem. He says, look, we have a border between us. Your children are going to tell us, to tell our children, that we're not Jewish and we don't belong to the Jewish nation. Here it is, there's a border, this is the Jordan River between us and you, this is a big border, and that is a proof that you don't belong with us. You have nothing to do with Hashem, you're not Jewish. Yeshua Hashem Bamakom. No, no, it's a Hashem. Yeshua sent them. He didn't go. You see, they say, the Midrash says that the whole thing was just Lashon Hara. It says that bad people came. And bad people that came, they wanted that Am Yisrael should exclude those 2.5 tribes. And there's a reason why they came. And most of Am Yisrael accepted the theory that they build the altar in order to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu and to bring sacrifices over there. Some of Am Yisrael did not believe it, that that's the reason. So even though a lot of Am Yisrael decided they're going to attack them, some of Am Yisrael at the time did say it's impossible. Therefore, the Midrash says Yeshua did not want to participate, and he stayed in the back, he wanted to hear what's going on. So he sent Pinchas and the president of the tribes to see what they're going to say. But he was afraid to accept the Lashon Hara, what those people said, that the altar is in order to get away from Am Yisrael and to sacrifice any sacrifice. And Navi sentence 25, with your permission, Lishbitu v'nechem b'nir v'ti o'et Hashem. So what's going to happen is not just that we're going to be excluded from Am Yisrael because of that statement that your children might consider us not Jews, eventually our children will feel that they're not Jewish people, eventually they will not worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If we feel that we are Jewish, we're going to join each other and we're going to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The minute that your children will tell us, our children, you see, you live far away, you live behind the Jordan River, it doesn't make sense. Therefore, our children will leave the religions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Jewish religion, and we're going to be separated. Therefore, Vanomer, sentence 26, we decided, Naseh Nalanu, Lidnot Atam Yisbeah, we're going to build an altar, Lo Lola Ve'Ola Zavach, not to sacrifice anything. The reason for building the altar is ki et hu b'neinu v'nechem, this is like a witness between us and yours. U'ben dorotenu acharenu, it says we build an altar, especially that altar was something direct from Shiloh, on the other side of the Jordan River, and that's going to be a witness between our generation and your generation, between our children and your children, for the generations to come. לעבוד את עבודת השם לפניו בעולתנו וזכנו בשלמנו. He says, this is an altar, and the people ask, what is this altar? He says, this altar is a witness that we belong to that group that live on the other side of the Jordan River, And on the other side of the Jordan River, this is where you sacrifice all the sacrifices. But we are not planning to do it. This is only for a sign that we are one group. Therefore, your children will not be able to tell our children that we have no part in Judaism, we have no part in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But no mayor, we said to ourselves, again, they explained, it's possible that your children are going to tell us, or you might going to tell us. What is this? We're going to say, please look at Tavnit Mizbach Hashem Asher Asu Avotenu. It says, look at the sheep of the altar that our fathers made, lo lo'ola, not to sacrifice, lo lo'ola, lo lezebach, not to sacrifice, k'yedu b'ninu b'nechem. It's just for witness that we should not be separate from Am Yisrael. We were scared. We were scared that one day they're going to come and they're going to say that we don't belong to the Jewish nation. Chalila lanu chas v'shalom, it didn't mean limrot to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'lashuv ayom achrei Hashem to get away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifnei mizbeach l'olah l'mincha l'zavach to build an altar to sacrifice it. Milvan besides mizbeach Hashem Elokeinu asher lifnei mishkanu. So they say that the reason why they build an altar is because they're afraid that one day they're going to be excluded. So why do you think it'll be excluded? It's just because you behind the Jordan River can be excluded. It's not a good reason. There's all the respect, it's not a good reason. I said, just because we have Jews living all around the world. At that time, of course, it's nobody lived around the world. But this is just because you live in America and there's going to be a Beit HaMikdash. And you don't say, listen, the people in America, they're not Jewish because they didn't come to Beit HaMikdash. It's not true. In time of the second Beit HaMikdash, a lot of Jewish people did not come back to Eretz Israel. And no one in Israel considered them not Jewish. Since, of course, you have Beit HaMikdash, in time of Shlomo HaMelech already, the Jews left and went to Yemen. They lived in Yemen. They said they don't want to live in Eretz Israel. Too much taxes. Politics, taxes, they left today also. They left time of Shlomo HaMelech, they left already Israel, they went to Yemen. Some of the people went to Europe. In time of Shlomo HaMelech, they went to Europe. They left Eretz Israel. They didn't stay in Eretz Israel. That was Shlomo HaMelech. So because you lived in Europe, because you lived in Yemen, you're not considered a Jew. Of course I'm a Jew. I'm a Jew that I decided I want to move. So if I live in Australia, and I live in America, or I live in any other part of the world, then in Australia, I'm not considered a Jew. And says, no. They say, listen, once it's going to be a thing that... People will say that we're not Jewish. You say, why they say we aren't Jewish? Just because you live on the other side of the Jordan River. Nobody will know why. It says, especially everybody reads the Torah. You open up the Torah, you read the Torah. It says in the Torah, Parashat Matot, it says that the children of God, the woman in Bnei Menashe, ask and request from Moshe Rabbeinu, a part on the other side of the Jordan River, they said, Al Tabeinu Tayadin, do not test us the Jordan River. So you look at the Torah, it says there are Jews, regular Jews, that decided to live on the other side of the Jordan River. And Moshe agreed with them, and they went and they fought with Am Yisrael. They were very big fighters, they were very strong soldiers, very brave ones. And then they came back, and they live over there. And it says, one day somebody will come and say, we're not Jewish. Really, somebody can tell me you're not Jewish, right? Because you live across the Jordan River, you're not a Jew. Whoever lives today behind the Jordan River, on the other side of the Jordan River, is not a Jew. But they are saying that the next generation is to come. הדורות הבאים יגידו שאלרתם גרים מאחורי הירדן, אתם לא יהודים. מה אתם לא יהודים? מה שאני גר מאחורי הירדן, אני לא יהודים. אני גר באמריקה, אני לא יהודים. אני גר בפרס, אני לא יהודים. תראה, יש לנו פרס, אני יהודי. וישמע פנחס הכהן, פנחס הרד, ונשיא ידוע ורשאל פי ישראל אשר יתות הדברים שדיברו בני רובן ובני גל ובני משה ותאב ביניהם. פנחס, and the president of Israel heard the explanation, they liked the explanation. הם פנחס בן אלעזר הכהן בני רובן ובני גל ובני משה, היום ידענו, he told them, פנחס אומרים, today we do know, כי בתוכנו השם, מנון, הקדוש ברוך הוא still dwells among us, אשר לא מעלתם בהשם אמרת, he did not mean to disobey HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. As it said in Israel Miyad Hashem. So therefore, Baruch Hashem, you saved them Israel from being punished. Vayashor Pinchas ben Elazar, HaKoyim HaNisim, Ebnei Ruvim, Ebnei Gad, Meyat Rgilad, Ebnei Tuknai, Ebnei Israel, they came back to Eretz Israel. Vayashivu Otam Davar. They told them Israel were ready to attack. They gave them an explanation. They said that the reason for building an altar is because they're afraid that one day you, Am Israel, on the west side of the river, are going to exclude them. And Am Israel loved it, and they blessed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says, thank God the 2.5 tribes did not try to separate themselves and did not try to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. ולא אמרו, they did not have in mind anymore לעלות עליהם לצבא, to go on top of them an army, לשחט את הארץ, to destroy the land completely, אשר בני רובן ידיגה לשם שם. So the explanation was very good, they accepted the explanation, and they're not planning to attack and destroy. ויקרו בני רובן ידיגה למזבח, כי עד הוא בנותינו כי השם אלוקים. They announced that this is the altar, the altar is a witness between us, among us, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is God. Well, it's a very nice story. The question is why that story is written over here in Yoshua, and what is really behind the whole story, that really they thought that one day they're going to be excluded from Am Yisrael.
Is there any
Master Avot that relates to this? I don't know. I didn't know. Maybe. Not that I know of. Not Reuven and Gad and Menashe. So the Ari says like this. The Ari says, in this sixth parasha, it says, and Moshe, when you're sending the Meraglim, the spies, he tells them to check the land of Eretz Israel. He tells them to see Yesh Ba'et Yimayim, to see if there is a tree over there. Says the Gemara, he told them to see if there is a tzaddik over there in Eretz Israel. If there is a tzaddik in Eretz Israel, they will not be able to cross to Eretz Israel. Says the Gemara, who is this tzaddik? Says the Gemara, Yob. Yob was married to Dinah. After Shimon married Dina, and Shimon died, says the Gemara, Iyov married Dina. And then Dina died, and Iyov was still living, still alive.
In Eretz
Israel.
In Eretz
Israel. In Israel. In Eretz Israel. In Israel. In Eretz 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 Israel. After Dina died, Iyov was in the government of Paro, in Egypt. Then the Paro decided to destroy the Jewish nation. Iyov was quiet, and then he ran away. Later, he ran away to Eretz Israel. Was living in Eretz Israel. I said, Zari, this is parasha, that's the Gemara says. And Moshe Rabbeinu, when he sent the spies to spy in Eretz Israel, he told them, go see if this tzaddik, if the holy man is alive over there. I said, Gemara, who is the holy man? I said, Iyov. Iyov is a holy man. He says, what does it mean, Iyov is a holy man? So the Gemara, that Iyov was very holy. It says, Iyov himself in his book, he writes, Ma'at Bonena Betula, I never looked at a girl. He was a holy man, even though he was a boy. And he was born Mahul, says the Midrash, he was born Mahul, he didn't have to have Brit Milah. Otherwise, Dinah would not have married him, unless he would have Brit Milah, of course. But he was born Mahul, he didn't have to have Brit Milah. Like Bilam, also Bilam was born Mahul, says the Midrash.
That makes it okay for him to marry him, he's still not Jewish.
Right. It is before Mahmad al-Sinai. It's easier, I don't know. You see, he was from the same family of Avraham Avinu, so that gave him maybe the opportunity to marry the children of Yaakov. Moshe Rabbeinu says, Ari, tells Am Yisrael, tell the spies, make sure, they will look over there, is the tzaddik, the holy man is alive. Says, who is the holy man? It's the Iyov. He says, well, what's going to be if he's alive? If he's alive, you cannot go to Israel. You cannot go inside. He says, well, yeah, I can go inside. Hashem promised me Israel. He says, you cannot go. He says, well, I can go. Here you have Moshe, Aaron, you have a few millions of Jews waiting to come to Israel. So his despised would have come back and would have said to Moshe Rabbeinu that Iyov is alive and you cannot cross, you have to wait in the desert, you have to say to him that Iyov should go to Gan Eden. If he doesn't go to Gan Eden, then you have to wait till he goes to Gan Eden. If it's going to take 100 years, you have to wait 100 years. That's what I'm going to say.
Oh, okay.
Happened to be, the Gemara said, happened to be, the day the spies went to Eretz Israel, Iyov died. Happened to be. Iyov had children here. He had three daughters. He had boys also. But if he would not have died, or anyway we stayed in the desert then for 40 years, but let's assume he would have lived later, Moshe Rabbeinu himself tells the spies, we cannot go to Eretz Israel. Says Dari, the Eretz Israel is called the Holy Land. The Holy Land, you have to be in a certain state, in a certain position in order to have a visa to go to Eretz Israel. It says, if you have a man in Eretz Israel, even a goy, that's so holy, then you will not be able to chase him out of Eretz Israel. It means his zechut is so strong that it will keep you away from Eretz Israel. And in that time, says the Gemara, Yov was something that no one else can say about himself, a statement like this. The Gemara, Abraham Avinu was in this kind of a level like Yov. Higher, maybe, says the Gemara. But Iyov was very high, very, very big tzaddik, very holy man. That is what...
God's will was to put the people of Israel in the land.
But if you have such a holy man in Eretz Israel and he's a goy, his zechut is to prevent from Israel coming to Israel. This is the level of purity and holiness of this man Iyov. Because it's called the Holy Land, and this is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects people to behave that way. And this is really the Mishkan now, that's what the Navi emphasizes in Shiloh. Shiloh was in the territory of Yosef HaTzadik. Not only Yosef HaTzadik, the place itself where the Mishkan in Shiloh was built, so the Gemara was like a little territory from Binyamin, that was a neighbor of Yosef in Eretz Israel, was like a little, what do you can say, an easement. Easement, you say?
Island?
No, easement.
Oh, easement, yeah.
Easement, yeah, easement. You know what easement is?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't finish college?
I did, but I didn't know.
You didn't
pass
real estate.
No, you didn't pass the test. Easement. Well, America's real estate. You don't know easement?
Easement,
no, it's environment. That's why. Easement, there are much there. Easement, you know?
So
how are you going to be rich in America if you don't know what it is?
The right to use somebody else's land, you have the right to go onto that property in a certain area. Your easement allows in that area for you to...
Easement is a trick. Easement is a trick. It means like this. You can have an air easement, you can have a land easement. Easement means that you have a property and the neighbor that lives across the street from you, he wants to cut for your property. You don't want to let him. So he said, you know what, I want to buy a part from the land from you. He said, I'm not selling the part. What do you mean? Which part do you want to buy? He says, no, I want to have just the right to pass. That's called easement. And they say, they have an air easement. It's a very big business in America. Let's say you have in front of your house a small building, and you heard that somebody is going to buy the lot, he's going to build a tremendous tall building, high building in front of you. So you go to the guy that sells the house and says, I want to buy the easement, the air easement. So it means that if he's going to knock down the house, he cannot build higher than the house was. So the Gemara said, it's something comparable, not exactly in Israel, but something like Israel that Binyamin had on the territory of Yosef in that particular part that the Mishkan was on. It means the Mishkan was in the city is called Shiloh, but the place where actually the Mishkan was, this was a little land, something like Israel, Not the Izmin exactly, but something like Izmin, that Binyamin, that was the neighbor of Yosef, he had the right on that piece of property. So again, the Mishkan was on two properties, if we may say, Yosef and Binyamin. It says, Ari, that this is the Mishkan was in Shiloh for 369 years, until it was destroyed in the time of Eliyahu Kohen. And this was in the territory of Yosef HaTzadik. And since the Gemara says that it was a tremendous power for Yosef to have the Mishkan, the first Mishkan, on his territory. Even though, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually will have the Beit HaMikdash in the territory of Binyamin completely, not Yosef, it's going to be Beit HaMikdash. But the first place, we may say the second place, the Mishkan was not planned, was almost as long as the Beit HaMikdash was in the territory of Binyamin, the Mishkan was in the territory of Yosef. Zari, this is just to tell you that that's exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu meant. That you can't turn to Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from you to be in a very high level of purity. And this was called Yosef HaTzadik, that his level was very high. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to put the Mishkan in Yosef territory in Shiloh, and also, and if we say an Izmin from Binyamin, something like the Izmin from Binyamin, a piece from Binyamin that was actually the Mishkan was hitting on, and this is because also the Gemara says Binyamin also was a very big tzaddik, and this is just was a hint to Am Yisrael that you should know that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expect, that the high level of holiness in order for you to survive to live in Eretz Yisrael. This is really what the parasha says. If Moshe Rabbeinu told them Israel, told the spies, if this guy is still alive, Yehov, that we have no chance to cross to Israel, we have to wait till this guy will die. Because he's the hood that he's such a holy man, is going to prevent us from crossing Eretz Israel. And that's also its base, all the Chachamim say this is in the time of Sdom Amorah. And the Kashim told Abraham Avinu is going to destroy Sdom Amorah. Abraham Avinu asked if it's going to be like five tzaddikim in Sdom, would you still destroy Sdom? Hashem said, no. If I find five in Sdom, I will not. The question is, five in every city, or look at the 45, 50. It says, with Sdom and Amorah, we don't know how many people live there, but we do know they're very bad, wicked people. Still, Abraham asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what will happen if you have some five real tzaddikim in that city? So this is going to prevent HaKadosh Baruch Hu from destroying Sdom and Amorah. You see what powerful is a tzaddik that he is such as a chut, because of him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to save even the wicked people, the most wicked people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so upset at them, as Sdom Amorah, because the tzaddik lives in the town. The same concept, says Ari, is that what Moshe Rabbeinu tells the spies. In case this guy, Yov, the tzaddik, is alive in Israel, his chut is so big that we will not be able to cross towards Israel, we're going to have to wait here in the desert until he dies. That of course, the way we're going to read in Parashat Matot, that Bnei Gad of Nehru Uven, the two tribes came first to Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, well, we don't want to go to Israel, we don't want to move in Israel. I said, it's a very nice statement. So I said, what's really behind it? It says, behind it, that those two tribes really felt that they have lack of purity. The reason is that the way it says in the Gemara, the way it says in the Zohar, when Yaakov Avinu married Leah, he thought that it's not Leah, it's Rachel. And if you married a lady and you think that another lady, that you didn't see who the lady you're marrying, it's called, huh? I don't know if it's not a ketubah, but it's called Ben Tmuah. So Shulchan Aruch said that the child will have a small damage in his neshama. Because you cannot marry a lady and you don't know who is the lady. You have to know who you married, of course, is the ketubah as well. But besides the ketubah, even though there was no ketubah or something else, if you haven't mistaken the identity of the wife that you married, he says, this is the son, or the child is going to be born, will have a damage in his neshama. It says that the first one that was like this was Reuven, that Yaakov thought this is Rachel, and she happened to be Leah. So when he was conceived, Yaakov had a mistake. Yaakov thought this is Rachel Imenu. Only in the morning, Yaakov didn't realize it's Leah. In the night time, he thought it's Rachel. So Zari, that Reuven had something in his neshama It's called Ben Tmurah. It says the Zohar. The Zohar says it even clearly. The Zohar says that this is something not 100% with Reuven. The same thing says that it applies to God. God was the son of Zilpah. And also Zilpah was brought to Yaakov Avinu by Leah Imenu, and Yaakov did not know it was Zilpah. Yaakov thought it was his wife Leah. And then she got pregnant, Zilpah, and she gave birth to God. Yaakov didn't realize, says the Gemara, it wasn't noticeable that she's expecting. So Zari, the Reuven, and God both were born from such a marriage from Yaakov Avinu that Yaakov did not realize who is the wife. Therefore, says Zari, that really when Negas and Reuven, they came and they asked Moshe Rabbeinu, they want to stay, but they give Moshe Rabbeinu an excuse, they say we have sheep and there is a lot of grass over here. Says Zari, but Moshe Rabbeinu understood that they really, what bothers them really, that they have no right to live in Israel because they were born from such a marriage that their husband did not know who is the wife. Says Ari, when they came towards Moshe Rabbeinu immediately, Moshe Rabbeinu also took half of the tribe of Menashe, even though they did not come to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, they also, Moshe Rabbeinu told them, you also don't cross to Israel. He says, who are you? He says, your name is Menashe. He says, who was your grandfather? He says, my grandfather from my mother's side was Shechem. Shechem ben Chamor. Shechem ben Chamor, that is kidnapped Dinah, was a goy. He says, so now the half of the tribe of Menashe, you also, your neshama.
Shechem.
Shechem married Dinah. And Dinah had a daughter, Osnat, and Osnat got married to Yosef. Now he says, this is why Moshe Rabbeinu, when he hears those two tribes saying they don't want to go to Israel, he understood. What it means is the level of holiness that Eretz Israel demands is missing by those two tribes. And therefore Moshe Rabbeinu voluntarily went to the tribe of Menashe, and he said, you know what, you're going to stay also over here. I says, why I have to stay over here? I didn't ask you to stay. I don't have too much cattle. He says, no, the reason behind this cattle is not the cattle. It's not that you have so much sheep. It's because that you feel, and this is the truth, says Ari, that your neshama is a little bit, not 100%, in order to live in Eretz Israel. So Ari, therefore, that's the whole story, that's the concept that they have to live outside of Eretz Israel. There's one more step Darius says. Darius says that they live in the territory of Ammon and Moab. Ammon and Moab, those are the daughters of Lot, the children, the grandchildren of Lot. Also, they were born from such an act that Lot did not know who is his wife. I mean, the wife knew. The daughters knew who is the husband. But Lot didn't know what's going on. He was drunk. So this really fits those people to live and dwell on the same territory. This is called Ammon and Moab. And this really is the land that HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised Abraham Avinu. This is part of the 10 nations that we're supposed to get, but we didn't get it yet. And then God of Reuven said, let's wait and let's dwell in those places that really I consider partially Earth Israel, not yet Earth Israel, but when Mashiach will come, says the Torah, that we are going to get on the way, on the east side of the Jordan River, the path that Reuven and God and Shevet Ben Ashe live on. This really belongs to us. Who told the Abraham Avinu, who said, you're not going to get it, the Mashiach will come. But really, it's suitable for you. The children of God, the children of Reuven, the children of half of Menashe, is because you really feel, and this is the truth, says Ari, you don't belong in Eretz Israel. Because in Eretz Israel you have to keep a very high level of holiness and purity. Says Ari, this is the whole story over here. This is when they go back, those tribes, Menashe and God and Reuven, they go back, they're going to build an altar. So they're going to build an altar to Hashem. He says, I'm not going to sacrifice anything. This is going to be a witness. A witness that I am a Jew also. He says, who is going to see not a Jew? He says, your children will consider us not Jewish. He says, says, no, why do they consider you not Jewish? Just because you're on the other side of Jordan River? Says, no, it's not because of that. Because I dwell on a territory that really belonged to Ammon and Moab, and me really, why I didn't go to Israel is not just because I chose that spot to live, but I chose the spot to live, says Ari, is because I don't deserve yet to live in Israel, because my neshama was not completed by Yaakov Avinu. And the Menashe is because of Shem and Chamor. This is why they built the altar. And their worry is the right worry. Because Am Israel eventually will say, how come you don't live in Israel? He says, because we had cattle. He says, oh, you had a cattle? Okay, now you have no more cattle. Now it's the computer time. I see you in business now, you in diamonds, in real estate, all the people behind the Jordan River, and you're going to tell me that you didn't live in Israel, you wanted to have your territory outside of Israel because of cattle, because of sheep. You have no sheep business. You're not farmers anymore. How come you don't move to Israel? Why are you staying over there? So obviously, says Ari, the reason is not just because of the cattle, because of the sheep. This is because you felt that your place is not Eretz Israel yet. And therefore, says Ari, they built the altar, and therefore Am Israel went, and they thought really that they really rebelled. It says, why Am Israel thought they rebelled? It says, they rebelled because the neshama is not 100%. It says, because if your neshama is called Ben Tumua, it says, you're the son of someone that the father thought about another wife, he didn't know that his wife. He says, eventually, what you're going to do is you're going to rebel. He says, I prove it to you. He says, how do I prove it to you? And he says, the messengers told the people over there, he said, you know what happened to Achan? You know Achan? And what's Achan? He says, Achan took from the looting. He says, what are you telling me about Achan now? He says, I want to explain you something. You know this guy Achan? He says, what did he do? He says he didn't keep the promise. He says he didn't keep the promise. You know why he didn't keep the promise? Because his grandfather of Achan was Yehuda. Yehuda got married to Tamar. He didn't recognize who Tamar is. Tamar was covered. She had something on her head. And Yehuda thought it's another girl. He didn't know who she is. He says, from such a marriage, look what's going to happen. He says, the grandson of Yehuda is Achan. He's supposed to be Mashiach. He's supposed to be the king. He doesn't keep the swear of Yeshua. He says, why didn't he keep the swear of Yeshua? He says, I had a desire, I want to have some things, a coat and this. He says, very nice. I want to know, what's the reason you did take from the looting? He says, there's one answer. The answer is, your neshama is not complete neshama. Because Yehuda, when married Tamar, he didn't know that Tamar, his wife, he thought it's another girl, he didn't know who the girl is. He says, finally, later on, he found out, oh, that Tamar, oh, I know this girl. By the time she conceived, Yehuda did not know who she is. So that only shows, says Dari, that the neshama of the person sometimes is not complete, and therefore, look, the grandson of such a marriage becomes Achan. So Dari, this is why Pinchas and the 10 presidents of the tribe, they come and they tell those Nehruvim of Negar, they say, listen, look, you see what happened to Achan, you see what happened, he says, you also don't believe in God. He says, I'm sorry to tell you, you build an altar, he says, you rebel against God. He says, I don't rebel against God, it's nothing, he says, no, you don't understand. You rebel against God because your neshama was not completed because Yaakov Avinu did not know who is the mother. Yaakov Avinu thought it's Rachel, he thought it's Leah, it wasn't Rachel, it wasn't Leah. He says, eventually you're going to rebel. He says, how do you know I'm going to rebel? He says, look what happened to Achan. Achan rebelled because Yehuda did not recognize his wife. Therefore, the answer, Pinchas says, no, you don't understand. We know, but we thought that this is the truth, says Ari, that because one day you will consider us not Jewish. He says, we got our territory behind the Jordan River. On this side is because we don't deserve to be together with you. Therefore, your children are going to exclude us completely from Am Israel. He says, he's not a Jew. He says, why is not a Jew? His name is Reuven. His name is God. He says, yeah, his name is Reuven, the son of God, but it's called Ben Tumua. He says, you may not live in Israel. If you cannot live in Israel, it means there's a damage in your neshama. He says, your children might consider us not Jewish. Therefore, we build an altar. An altar is to show that we do believe in God constantly. It's going to be a witness. Not to sacrifice, the opposite. People ask us, why don't you sacrifice? It's Chas V'Shalom. I'm not sacrificing. I'm going to tell you, this is an altar. It's diagonal from the altar in Shiloh. It's going to be diagonal from the altar in Yerushalayim. It's not to sacrifice. I'm not to sacrifice it. It's just to show you that we do believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, your children will not exclude us from Am Yisrael. So this is really the purpose of this chapter. The purpose of the chapter is not to tell us just the history of what happened, is tell us really what is necessary for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us to live in Eretz Yisrael. Same thing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Moshavim, tells the spies, like HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote in the Torah, that as long as Yov is alive, you may not cross to Eretz Yisrael. He says, you should know that they live on the other side of the Jordan River is because of that damage, says Nari, in their neshama that Yaakov did not recognize who is the wife. He says, this might cause you that Chas V'Shalom is going to rebel against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If you have such a damage, this is it's not a punishment, but it means you don't deserve to live in Eretz Yisrael. This is only for us, instruction and a direction that we wait for Mashiach when we go back to Israel. He says, this is what you have to know, that in Israel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking at you, at your neshama, at your behavior much closer than he looks on the other side of the Jordan River. I says, this is Am Israel, that they have the Zechut, the 9.5 tribes to live in Israel, is because neshama was perfect. Even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shalom at the end send us to exile, but those people, it says they have no right to even to live in Eretz Israel because HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not trust them, they are not going to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu because the part of the Neshama that was not completed by the marriage of Yaakov.
Yitzchak also did not complete Neshama, but I don't remember.
Why Yitzchak didn't have to complete Neshama because of the lack of the belief of Sarah Imenu. Right, but the marriage was right between Yaakov, between Abraham and Sarah.
That's what they
actually know, don't they?